0-for-2 on names today, so I'm going to try 0-for-3 here. Alier? Alier?
Alier.
Alier. Alier.
Alier.
I was 0-for-3. Thank you. And, all right, our fourth and final case this morning is Alier versus Harris Davis Rebar. Good morning, counsel.
Good morning, judges. My name is Seth Yurchek, and I appear today on behalf of defendant and appellant Harris Davis Rebar. May it please the court. Brief recitation of the facts of this matter. Mr. Alier had pre-existing psychological issues with sleep deprivation and substance abuse, particularly with alcohol. He encountered in December of 2013 a work-related accident in which he was assaulted by a coworker, punched to the face. Subsequent to that, he experienced headaches and some anxiety. And was continued treating and off work. Then in 2015, he encountered a serious non-work-related injury where he fell off a ladder. He hurt his back, requiring surgery. He hit his head, and he had an uptick in his depression. He started drinking again, which he had not done. He had not drank since, I believe, months prior to the original work assault. And then in December 2015, he was mugged outside of a casino, or attempted mugging. He hit his head on the ground again, and he became more worrisome of encountering assaults. And during all those times of the subsequent intervening accidents, he was also dealing with lots of home stress issues involving marital stress, issues with his resumed drinking, and issues with his son's own mental health issues and substance abuse issues. What we're arguing is that the evidence at trial was clear and competent that these post-accident intervening accidents were substantial enough that they were not mere possibilities of being intervening accidents. They were clear. They re-rose his pre-existing conditions, and that Judge Hoffer at trial did not have sufficient competent evidence to find that they were not intervening accidents.
Judge Hoffer actually says there was no credible evidence presented to support the break in causation.
Right.
Okay, so what credible evidence was there in this record to support that break in causation? I know you cited the various incidents. This guy definitely had a string of bad luck, it sounds like.
It does, yes, Your Honor. And I would say the credible evidence would be that the evidence Judge Hoffert relied on was Dr. Mineta. Dr. Mineta found that the work assault was an aggravation of a pre-existing condition. So I liken the, say his pre-existing condition was an injury to a knee as an analogy. And the work assault rose up some of his psychological issues, but the change in his condition following the fall off the ladder, especially the uptick in the drinking, which for a year and a half following the work accident, which was an aggravation of pre-existing psychological conditions, he was not drinking, he was treating, he was doing better. The records, unbiased records from Presbyterian Medical show he was about to return to work. And then following the fall, he has back surgery, he starts drinking, and he starts worrying that he might never be able to return to work again, which really increased his depression. And I think that that is credible. The records from Presbyterian show that the fall in uptick his depression and made him worry about never being able to return to work again. Not the original anxiety from the assault, but the anxiety and depression caused after he hurt his back. And there's also credible evidence from Dr. Jung that his psychological condition is very multifactorial and related to pre-existing conditions, the assault at work, and the series of unfortunate events following the work accident in 2015.
If you have two competing expert witnesses, don't we give leeway to the judge deciding who he wants to believe between the two?
We would, but I would say that Dr. Mineta is not sufficient or competent evidence, as he has no mention of any of the series of unfortunate events in his records. He just ties it all to the Dr. Mineta saw and rated the claimant after the 2015 fall from the ladder, yet there's no reference to it in his records. And he's looking at a psychological condition from December 2015 after he started drinking again and after he was depressed about not returning to work, but he's not referencing.
I don't recall in this record, is there just the doctor's opinion or was there a deposition?
I do not believe there's a deposition.
Did he testify?
I do not believe he testified.
So your client relied on simply the submission report and didn't take a deposition to ascertain exactly what the doctor did consider in rendering that opinion?
No, we did not take the deposition of Dr. Mineta. We did take the deposition of Dr. Young, and he used the most competent and actual diagnostic testing to determine what the plaintiff's true psychological condition was.
But the record would not reveal one way or the other whether Dr. Mineta actually did know about the intervening events.
I believe that is accurate, yes. I guess our third and final point that I will try to wrap up is that the judge erred in finding that the claimant was temporary and totally disabled. Well, I think it's pretty clear that the claimant's testimony from trial showed that because of the medications he was taking, he could not return to ironworking, and that he also had a fear of returning to ironworking due to the assault with his coworkers previously and the union situation that seems to be a very tight-knit family in the ironworking community.
There's also, wasn't the medication he was taking also of some concern to him returning to that?
It was, yes. That is apparent in the trial testimony. But it's also clear that claimant is very skilled, very trained in multiple different areas, and that living in Albuquerque, he was not totally disabled, as he could have returned to multiple different types of employment. While he was treating psychologically, there's no indication that he was rated off work and that plenty of people are treating psychologically and still working other jobs. He had his contractor's license. He was trained in all sorts of different fields and different aspects of construction. And he did not have to return to the ironworking unions per se. He was capable of working multiple different jobs where he lives in Albuquerque, away from the original assaulters, in peace while treating, and to actually earn some money.
But didn't your own expert, Dr. Jung, didn't he testify in his deposition that he acknowledged that there was ongoing psychiatric treatment to treat the anxiety and depression, and that he should be able to complete that and return to work? And Judge Hoffert made note of that. And so we're really talking about temporary total disability. He has not reached maximum medical improvement yet, right? And so
right. The
indication by both experts, let's let him finish this treatment and then an assessment can be made, right?
I think that's, I do not recall that from Dr. Jung's report, but
it's quoted in the opinion, so if that's not correct, then take a look at that.
I just think that it's pretty clear that there were some gaps in claimant's treatment. He wasn't necessarily always working towards maximum medical improvement. There were certainly some major setbacks that I discussed earlier as the intervening accidents, but I think, yes, he can complete treatment and is certainly employable and not totally disabled ongoing. This time I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Morning, Mr. Grell.
Morning, Your Honor, members of the court. My name is Mark Grell. I represent Mr. Kenneth O'Leary, counsel. May it please the court. Judge Bishop, your first question about no credible evidence, I think that hits the nail on the head. With respect to any potential intervening causes, I think the Mendoza case clearly states that medical evidence is necessary to break that, and as Judge Hoffert noted, the court finds no persuasive medical opinion to suggest any of these events or factors were such so as to break the causal connection.
kind of an... There does appear to be some exacerbation of the condition, right? Because there is some evidence in the record he was getting better until he fell off the ladder.
Yes, and as you noted, he had some bad luck. I think the law clearly requires, though, for a medical opinion to state clearly that it breaks that chain of causation. And Mr. O'Leary's optimism in his medical records, while admirable, it doesn't constitute an independent intervening cause. He was still under treatment. He was still undergoing medications, as he does to this day. I think the overarching big picture, obviously, is that Judge Hoffert has the sole discretion of finding the credibility of the witnesses and weighing the medical evidence. As you noted, Judge Bishop, when you have two competing expert witnesses, you defer to the trial judge. And Dr. Mineta, the appellant has tried to argue that Dr. Mineta's opinion is credible because he started treating the patient, Mr. O'Leary, after some of these accidents. Dr. Mineta is a psychiatrist at Presbyterian Hospital, which is where Mr. O'Leary got the vast majority of his treatment throughout this whole claim, and as well his counselors, Robert Betcher and Peter Carmody. So within the same facility, obviously, everyone is privy to everyone's medical records.
Is that indicated in the record?
I don't believe it is specifically indicated in the record, but obviously the appellant had the opportunity to depose Dr. Mineta to see what he based his opinion on, did not do so. Dr. Jung, defendant's expert, he even came close to giving the requisite causation opinion with respect to the psychological condition and psychological injury as being an aggravation of a pre-existing condition. So I think there is more than enough credible evidence to support Judge Hoffert's opinion that Mr. O'Leary sustained a psychological injury and remains temporarily totally disabled to this day. With respect to, he's been an iron worker for 29 years. The appellant argues that he shouldn't be considered temporarily totally disabled, but as you note, he hasn't reached MMI, maximum medical improvement, yet. Both medical experts hold that opinion. There was no evidence, zero evidence from before this accident that any alleged pre-existing conditions affected his ability to work. He continues to be under treatment. Dr. Mineta has opined that he's going to miss at least 2 days of work a month because of these conditions. He is not going to reliably be able to complete subsequent work weeks. Mr. O'Leary testified that he continues to suffer headaches that multiple times a month debilitate him to the point where he has to lie down for a period of time. He's taking Valium and Adderall, both medications for this condition that affect his concentration. He described in his testimony at trial the things he has to do. One of them is flag rigging, which involves basically directing up to 40 to 50 tons of metal above a workplace, above other employees, something that obviously is of utmost safety and security issue. He just doesn't have the mind to do that right now, unfortunately, due to this incident. I don't know if you have any further questions for me. I think at this point I would probably just rest on my brief.
Anything else?
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
How much time did the appellant have remaining?
1 minute and 19 seconds.
Okay.
To just briefly wrap up, I think it's clear that though Judge Hoffert had some discretion in determining whether the intervening accidents were connected to the work accident, I think the record stands alone showing that he had clear pre-existing substance abuse issues, following the work assault, he went a year and a half without drinking, and while he did sustain some psychological injury, it did not revive his pre-existing condition and disability. And then subsequent to falling off the ladder and injuring his back, he began drinking again, which is a current psychological condition and disability raised from his pre-existing condition,
entirely unrelated to the work accident, and that it's a major factor in his current disability, and that that would show just clearly and competently that that was an intervening accident that arose a unrelated work accident that is, I think, central to his current disability and issues with returning to work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will take the case under advisement. We thank you both for being here. You are excused, and we are adjourned. Thank you very much.